Welcome back, everyone, to Innovative Leadership. I'm your host, Ryan Stickle. With me, as always, is Stephanie Hurd.
Hello, welcome back.
And this is a bit different for us today.
It is.
This is a different episode. We are, in case it sounds a little bit different than usual, you're not crazy. We're on the road here. We're in New Jersey. Is it Whippany? How do you pronounce it?
It's Whippany.
Whippany, New Jersey. And we're here at Preferred Business Systems. And we have a guest today. Ori Segal, am I saying that as well?
Segal.
Oh, man. See, that's, I'm a bad host on that. I got everything but the name. But Ori Segal's here. He's here to join us. He's the Chief Technology Officer here at Preferred Business Systems. Ori, thank you so much for joining us.
I look forward to today. This is going to be great.
So before we get into it and get into our fun leadership and people conversations, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got here, your professional upbringing or your life's upbringing. The floor is yours.
Awesome. So I've been in IT since basically I was 19 years old, basically my whole life. As a kid, always dealing with computers, messing with electronics and video games. When I was 19, I was offered a great opportunity. I left college and had a mentor and, you know, really learned a lot in the IT world. From there, you know, grew my knowledge in IT and business. Pretty much a self-learner, a lot, read a lot of books in regards to management styles and leadership styles and how to grow yourself and things of inspiration. When I was 20, September 11th happened here, fortunate day and fortunate part of a lot of our lives. And a few months later, I'd lost my job with that mentor and that company I was with and decided to travel the country and did a bunch of traveling, came back and started from scratch and started at a call center and then went to a help desk and then went to field tech and then decided to start my own business. And then 2009, I ran across an ad for Preferred Business Systems, and they were a copier company trying to start IT in 2009. It was the beginning of a trend on the CPM, copier print mail companies. And I decided I want to take a challenge and help them develop this IT side. And so that's where we started, 2009. Came in, helped create the IT, and about 5-6 years ago, took over the IT side and developed it to where we are today.
The rest is history, right?
The rest is history.
I got to ask you about just kind of what, going on your own, finding yourself. What was that like? What inspired that?
Yeah, so, you know, I was never a great student in school. Always learned things, but just didn't want to take tests.
I can relate to that when I was in school. I was never big on, like, I enjoyed to learning things and engaging with other students and teachers and learning about stuff, but the test part of it was, the school structure was never for me. That's why I make content now.
It's probably structure as a whole was never.
Free flowing.
Yeah, so I just enjoyed living and having a good time with friends and whatnot, and probably should have paid more attention in school. But you know, I'm in a very good, strong place, so I went the right path, but really enjoyed traveling, really enjoyed seeing sights and culture and taking that path and traveling the country and then coming back and understanding starting from the beginning and being on a call center and then help desk, field tech, really, you know, taught me the ways of every single level of IT. And then to today, you know, running a multi-million dollar MSP is, you know, it's so many different lessons learned.
Right. And I mean, coming on and just kind of basically starting the IT side of this business, and you come on and that's probably a whole new world for a lot of people here. What was that like? And how did you feel in terms of maybe the trust they gave you or the challenges you faced? And how did that kind of shape what your team looks like now and what you look like as a leader now?
Oh yeah, there's a lot. You're going pretty
deep. We'll get deep. Let's rip the band-aid off. We'll get deep on it.
So when I first started, I had a boss here. We got along very well for many years, and I'll tell you later on in the story how I became the manager of the IT side. But when the IT was being developed here, there was definitely a bit of separation. You know, it started as a break fix. The copier side doing very, very well, and a very strong client base. Technicians that have been here a very long time, you know, a pretty good culture. And so, but a lot of attention was being paid towards the IT because of, you know, they saw the future and the growth of it. We able to do kind of what we wanted to, and there was a lot of freedom on the IT side because there wasn't an understanding on the ownership side of what IT really was, right? So there was a lot given to us to allow us to succeed. We went in very slowly, so it was all break fix. We started by the concept of copiers are now printing, scanning, you know, there's some solutions on there, right? Who's installing it? And so it was typically the other company's IT person, if they're a one-man show or a so-called MSP back then, you know, there weren't a ton of MSPs, you know. So we would offer the installation at no charge and see if we could get a meeting on IT and try to pick up clients that way. So that's how the concept of the IT was built here at Preferred Business Systems was, all right, let's go install. Let's show them we know IT, set up the printing on the computers, have conversations, do the scanning, tell them about the other things we could do. And then we started creating a managed service package and created, brought on Enable as our RMM and Central, and made an agreement with them and, you know, started building our platform. And so we took it, 2009 to 2010 was still all break fix. 2010 to 11 was that transformation period of time, building the actual managed service model. And then it just, you know, started growing. 2011 to about 2015, 16 wasn't huge growth. We had brought on, it was myself and my boss, and then we brought on Peter, who had worked here for many years. At this point, he's here 21, 22 years, still with the company, is running our VoIP and software solutions division now. And then we brought on Matt, and Matt started here when he was 18. He's now late 30s. He worked every position, warehouse, dispatch, and then came over to the IT side. And then we hired Ruben, who's in charge of our cyber. So the growth, you'll see how these people, Matt now runs the field team, Ruben runs the cyber team. So it's all growth within. 2015, 16, somewhere around there, I had a very large disagreement, which if you want to get into details, we can, but a very large disagreement with my boss then, and I left Preferred Business Systems for about 3 days, 4 days. and then they brought me on, and I started running the IT side. At that time, we ended 2016 with $388,000 in business. The following year, with me taking over a year and like 5 months, we then hit $1 million.
Wow.
And then when every year since then, since 2017, we've done about 20% to 30% growth year over year. And it's just really having a very strong passion of culture and values and bringing a team within and growing. And, you know, just giving everybody a path, like everybody who works here, a path to get somewhere. If it's here or somewhere else, I don't care. I want everybody to stay. Like, never want anybody to leave, go anywhere. But always, you know, that's a huge part of our business. And, you know, it's the same as the partner relationship. Like, that's how we grow our business. It's all partner, you know, it's success of each other.
And, I mean, that kind of leads me to my next point. Since you've been here a while at this point, you've seen some changes happen. What has the culture been like through that? Has the culture seen a lot of change? Have there been, you know, improvements in your team that you've seen? How has that been, and how have you helped maintain that?
Yeah, culture has changed multiple times here. Yeah. We had when I had started, then we had me and the boss disagreement, and then we had our owners partnership split. and that was a very rough time of a split. And then things changed, and we've always had somewhat of a good culture, right? And it was a place to come to work. It was never like coming to work every day, right?
Yeah.
Now we have a culture, and it is awesome, and everybody enjoys coming, and they just have a great time, and that's part of EOS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bring on EOS into our company, building that culture, everybody being completely transparent with everyone. Everyone seeing the dollars, everyone knowing what we're doing, everyone sees the outlook, knows our 1-3-10-year plan, right? Like, right person, right seat. We follow, we self implement the EOS, and we follow it very strongly. And so everyone's in it and gets it, wants it, capacity.
You're spoken like a true guest of this podcast.
You're speaking our language.
Preach to the choir.
And you can definitely feel it. Like Ryan and I had a tour right before this. And I mean, you can feel there's just a positive energy with everyone out there. We loved the ping pong table. Hearing about the March Madness ping pong tournament is about ready to get started. And I love, it sounds like PBS had a good culture before, and it's gotten better with EOS. And, we know from experience, also being an MSP/copier company as well, that the kind of just the culture and nature of copier companies and IT companies can be very different. Even, you can have two companies, good cultures. Those two types of companies often operate differently, have different cultures. Was that an intentional kind of effort to meld those cultures? Did it just happen naturally over time? Like, how did the copier people receive the IT people and vice versa?
That took some time. I don't think there was ever that hatred between copiers and IT that you see in other, like when you have two separate companies and you're trying to work together. Oh, it's a copier people's front home. Oh, it's the IT bro. I don't think we've ever had that here. There was definitely, sorts of pieces of disconnect of, these guys get this and these guys get that. Mm-hmm. I think that was before, that definitely hasn't been for a long, long time.
Sure.
And it was pre EOS and pre putting in a true defined core values and culture here. It just ended up molding together. I mean, these guys, we do a lot of company events, like you said, the March Madness ping pong tournament, and then we all go bowling and stuff. We've done, we've done go-karting, we've done mini golfing, they do unofficial happy hours, and everyone's invited.
Yep.
Right. So like, they have this Teams chat called Secret Bagel Chat, and it's all departments. It's not like, it's not a secret anymore. It used to be like a few people, and then they called it out, and now it's everybody. But I mean, we're even talking admin. We're talking admin, service techs on the copier side. We're talking managers. We're talking IT techs. We're talking engineers, and it somehow just flowed into one. I can't mm-hmm. explain that. It's got to be the EOS and the culture. I can't explain it any other way.
I was going to say that because I feel like we've seen that shift with EOS. Like, same, we always had a good culture. Culture was a huge focus at the company. But then once you add that layer of like true right person, right seats to the core of, are you willing to fire somebody who's good technically at their job, but doesn't fit your core values? Yeah. Like, that is the true test of EOS. And like, once you get there, I feel like that culture stuff just.
Yeah. And not. The managers here, the leadership team, Rich, Rich prides of everyone being happy. Like, that's extremely important to him. Mm-hmm. Alyssa, like they're all about the people that work alongside each other. And no one's better than the next person. Everyone is here for the growth of PBS and the growth of its partners. And that's it. We grow, they grow, everyone grows. We have in our kitchen, live, laugh, grow. So everything's about just enjoying life. Like, you gotta work hard, play hard, but you gotta enjoy life. You gotta enjoy.
And I feel like there is something about EOS. It kind of forces everybody to live the same truth at work, right? Because we're all under this EOS umbrella. We're all operating. Messages are getting crossed to different meetings in a way that makes sense and is structured within those meetings a certain way. People have their rocks, right person, right seat. There's all these aspects of EOS, I feel like, that just make it so we're all coming in with an understanding of our goals and an understanding of what's happening this week, this month, this year, right? Yeah. And when you can have all that stuff almost just taken care of, it takes work, right? But it's taken care of within this framework, it then creates that room for maybe spend a little more time getting to know somebody or spending a little more time with having fun at work, right? Because we talk about that a lot, where you come to work, it can't just be this grueling, and work's hard. Like, there's a lot of hard days, and we're not going to sugarcoat that, but you know, at the very least, you can come in and say, well, this, I'm not miserable in this job as a whole. There's going to be tough days, but I can come in and have fun. I can come in and know the person next to me and enjoy them. And I think EOS just kind of helps create more room for that because it standardizes so much of the business stuff.
Yeah, the transparency, you know, there's a quote, and I'm going to totally mess it up because I'm not good with telling quotes, but it's about, you know, if you never lie, you never need to remember what truth you don't, right? Mm. So it's the same with EOS. I mean, it's like you're being fully transparent and everybody's after that main goal. And if you run your business like that and you talk to people like they're human beings and they're people and they're working with you to get to that goal, then everyone's going to be on the same page. What's going to stop you from growing?
Yeah. Like a hierarchy should exist for responsibility's sake accountability's sake. Yeah. But otherwise, we are all human beings at work, existing, trying to make a living.
Totally.
Yeah. And we spend, you know, if you spend, you know, hybrid work hours are different for everybody, but essentially, you know, 8-9 hours a day with talking to these people, working with these people, doing this work.
Yeah.
You can't just have people be miserable.
These are friends out here. They're not, they're not employees of mine. They're all people that are just good people.
And I just have to piggyback on Steph's point. You walk in, we felt it. Like I could see the vision in here as soon as I came in, started meeting people at the ping pong table.
Well,
obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. the lights were on in here, and they were on, which not the case at down at Innovative. We have a lot of people prefer just to work in the glow of their monitors.
We are also all friends, but we keep the lights off.
Just friends in the dark. Yeah. But I wanted to ask you, and if you had any advice or maybe just a stern message for any business leaders who hear us have these conversations week after week, and maybe they think it's a little corny, and we're corny sometimes about how much we love this stuff and love our culture. But what do you say to that person who thinks it's insane to fire somebody because they're not a good culture fit, even though that person technically does good work?
Yeah, I mean, the only way you would understand that is if you're following EOS and you see it for yourself. There's no way I can explain that to someone. It just works. That's mm-hmm. what works. I mean, and it's not even fire someone. It could be, you know, right person, right seat. Could be that they're the right person. They're just in the wrong seat in your company. I mean, you just move them. You know, it's a discussion. It's how you handle it. But I can't explain that to anyone. Even EOS. Like some people are like, oh, it's a call. You know, this or that.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah.
You're following a guidebook or a way of life or a way of doing business, and you don't have to follow it to a T to every exact thing, but you're putting in. It's why, you know, the Army is so successful, you know, things that have, you know, this is going to sound horrible. You're training your dog.
Yeah.
Right. You got to be repetitive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. You being repetitive gets them to sit, gets them to do this. Right. And so like repetitive in any type of nature is going to be successful. So, you know, EOS is a lot of repetition. You're having the same meeting week over week, discussing different things, but the format is the same. So it's going to start flowing properly and it's going to start working properly. And it took a while here because we didn't have, an integrator, right?
Mm-hmm.
And come in and teach us the way. So it took us longer than some for others. But now we have the hang of it. Like these meetings are streamlined. They're every week, same time. You know, they're lasting the same exact amount of time. Everyone's doing it. Everyone's got rocks, measurables, right? So it's, you know, now it's coming together and it's really formed into something that you could, the business just grows quicker. Also.
Yeah. And all that stuff is taken care of. It exists. And we, you know, you fill out your scorecard or you add your notes to the IDS section of here's, we need to talk through this today. but the structure of it, there's no need to talk about when this meeting is, what it's about. Nobody's going in stressed of, I don't know how this meeting's going to go today. It's, yeah, this is our L10 meeting. I'm going to go in and give my gratitude, and we're going to talk about this, and then start solving problems. Yeah. And if everybody's on the same page with that, what, there's not an email of like, or can we talk about this in the meeting? There's no Teams message. What time is it? Or when are we doing this? That's all just taken care of, and you can get down to solving problems, which at the end of the day, that's, you need to spend your time.
And it's also great, like your headlines. So you're talking about employee and customer news, and then your personal best and professional best at the beginning of the meeting, like things that, you know, I don't know what everyone's doing every week, and it's hard to talk to everyone and see what how they did over the weekend or something that personally was the best for them.
Yeah.
So just, I mean, there's just so many different parts of it. The issues are extremely important to get through, and is awesome part of the meeting, because you actually talk issues. And if you're transparent and open with each other, you get through so much. But the other pieces, that personal best and professional best, and what you feel you did good for the company, and that kind of stuff. I mean, that's...
And I love that, you know, you talk about the repetition of it. And we've talked to a lot of other EOS companies on this podcast, but you're actually the first other tech company we've talked to. And I found that the repetition, like, technical minded people are so good at, we love a process, right? Like, we can follow a process, ones and zeros, a checklist. And EOS kind of systemizes the human, like the people stuff, which I think tech company really lends itself well to tech companies and that stuff. Like, okay, here's how we run a meeting. Here's how we communicate with each other. Here's the what you're accountable for. Like, it just systemizes all of that kind of like touchy feely human interaction stuff in a way that technical minds can really get behind. And I just feel like it's fit so well in these types of companies.
And I tell techs when they come on board, organization, right, is extremely important as a technician in every aspect. And EOS brings that in as well. So they're doing these rocks and measurables and understanding, like, and then their tickets are getting cleaner. They understand why they're putting these notes in, why this status and subtype and all this stuff has to go in here, because, you know, they understand that this is going to turn into an issue. It's going to make them look bad. It's going to go to this. And, oh my God, it's going to go up to the next department, the leadership. And, you know, so everyone's obviously, it's, you're 1,000%.
And I do kind of like the way the different components of EOS play off each other, because you said in that meeting, as long as you're, you know, honest and accountable and transparent about stuff, we can get down to the bottom of these issues and solve them. But without people who are willing to do that or feel comfortable to do that, without a little bit of camaraderie, that part gets difficult. We talk so often about that, about, you know, everything is so much easier with transparency. And if that doesn't exist, then good luck getting people to trust you, to buy in, or, you know, just in general, I don't know how you do business with someone who doesn't feel you're trustworthy. So, I mean, it all plays off each other. So I'm always interested in what people have to say about that, because it's a universal truth, at least for the people on this podcast, but it's just not the case everywhere.
It's definitely true. And it took a while for us to open up with each other. And that's part of something that when you are going to start EOS or do EOS, understand that it's not going to be your first meeting. You're not going to just start telling people really how you feel and what your real thoughts are. You know, that takes, we're all human, right? And we can all be friends and family or whatever it is. And it's still very difficult to open up on certain pieces. It doesn't matter if it's business. So as long as people understand that, but it will come in time. And we've gotten to a level where it took some time. It took some, you know, wrong people, wrong seat changes, and changes in leadership and changes across the board to get to the point where we are now, where we can truly, most of the time, I'm not going to say it's 100% because nothing's ever there, but most of the time we can just really say we're with it.
Yeah. And no good leader or successful leader has ever been mistake free. So there's going to be speed bumps. There's going to be hiccups along in that process. And you're never done with implementing EOS. It takes, you know, you got to continue to put in the work to have this stuff, you know, fulfilled in these meetings, to continue to structure your organization in such a way where people come in and they learn EOS and they know it, and they're willing to put in whatever work is needed on their end to continue to uphold whatever is happening with that operating system. And So, I mean, that's, I mean, again, right person, right seat. It's all the way we could bounce off, I think, these conversations for like 6 hours straight on a podcast. Cause we get to the end of these podcasts. It's like, oh, we bounce from here to here to here. And oh, it's 45 minutes and we're done.
Yeah.
And it's funny. We get into it with every person every time, but it's always fun to hear the different perspectives because it's different for each business. And, you know, we talked to non-EOS leaders who, you know, are bought into kind of the fundamental,
the themes are
the
still,
themes, the themes yeah. are there. And, you know, they're all about their people and their people have run.
Some are doing EOS, but some of them are doing EOS.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. And some are doing, I guess
flavors.
Yeah. I don't want to say it all. I don't want to say offshoots. I mean, they're valid yeah. operating systems, but versions of EOS that they're like, yeah, this is like our EOS and yeah. they get it and they're bought in. So it's, and
I mean, not, we say this all the time, like so much of it is obvious. Like, why did it take a book and a professional implementer and, you know, somebody to force me to sit in a room?
Because we all need a guide. We exactly. all need a guide.
The guide.
Exactly. And, like, you need something to show you the way. But to your point before, Stephanie, about the MSP world, there are a lot of MSPs doing EOS now.
Yeah.
And I've been to a lot of conferences and they, and meet a lot of people, and it is big in the MSP world, and you're right. Process, we live on process and procedure, and it definitely helps us grow. I think it helps the growth of an MSP more than certain other businesses because we follow that process and procedure, but it brings in that culture.
Yep.
Which is some MSPs, it's very hard to bring in a culture like what we have and what you guys have, and that probably. That helps growth. So you can have as many process procedures as well, but if people aren't happy,
absolutely,
they're happy to help you build.
Absolutely. Especially in an industry. I mean, MSPs are notorious for high turnover. It's where, you know, if you want to work in IT, you kind of go, you cut your teeth, you learn, and then you move on pretty quickly. And I think it sounds like you have a pretty high retention rate, as is innovative. And like, that's all culture and how you treat your people. And
yeah. We
creating opportunities for them.
Yeah. We pride ourselves on our retention rate. It's pretty phenomenal, and I think it's because of the culture. And I always tell people, working at MSP is like the saying, if you can live in New York, you can live anywhere. You know? I just use Jersey instead of New York.
I did like what you said earlier about, you know, you don't want people to leave. You want good people to stick around. You want to continue to grow and give them opportunities. I know that's the philosophy at Innovative as well, because if somebody's good, why would you not want them to stick around? Why is it? It doesn't have to be. Oh, that's a good opportunity. Good luck. See ya. Yeah. So can you talk a little bit more about the value of keeping a team together? And again, might seem obvious, but it's not, you know?
It's probably the most important thing in business, I think. It helps the day go by. It's forget about the business side of things. I mean, if you want to talk about the business side of things, I mean, it's obvious. You don't have to retrain people. You know, your cost, la-di-da-di-da. That's neither here nor there. In regards to who you are as a business and your growth of a business and how they build upon each other, when people are here and they become friends and they're coworkers and they're learning from each other and they have already broken out of their shell, right? Which takes time, especially in IT.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right? You know, you have all different types of personalities. And so they just are able to just like, it's a whole different world. I mean, you go out into that pit any time of day, they're joking, laughing, and doing service calls, and it's crazy. And then, like, when you bring on a new guy, because the retention of all of our old, like, not older, they're still young, but all of our older guys, you know, 9 years, 10 years, 7 years, 6 years, you know, I mean, the reason we have younger employees of in regards to retention or time they've been there is because we're growing. We need to continue to hire.
Yeah.
And so, but when you have these people that are here that have molded this crew and they do all these things together after work and during work, I mean, it's just the business just works better. I mean, it's the retention is so important. It's so important.
I would say somebody who is like, can be extroverted, has no problem getting along with people. It takes a lot of energy and effort to constantly meet new people. And, you know, especially when it's work and you are around that person all the time, I have no problem meeting that person, knowing their name, getting to know them, but it's a lot of time and energy, and you can't come in and quite be yourself the same way when it's someone new. You're trying to make a good impression.
Coming and going, you're not doing business. I mean, that just means something's not right.
Yeah.
Like, why would they want to be leaving all the time?
Yeah.
You know, so there's something not good there.
People don't leave jobs, they leave people.
Good point. We got to put that on like a plaque or a poster or something.
It's already a couple posters. You know?
We've talked a lot about EOS, but in your intro, you talked about how, you know, you had a mentor that helped pave the way for you. And I know that you mentioned about how you mentor a lot of your teams. Can you talk to us about that? Like the power of mentorship and kind of paying that forward and how that's impacted your career and life.
Yeah. So like we were talking about earlier, I was never a school guy, but loved being hands-on. And I got an opportunity when I was younger to work for an IT company, and was brought in under a system administrator. And I was 19 years old. And this guy was amazing. And so taught me, you know, Active Directory, user, some security stuff back then, you know, talking a long time ago. You know, really took me under his belt and didn't have to. Mm-hmm. And so ever since then, I got very lucky in life in regards to that. So, you know, he taught me a lot of things. And then I was able, you know, he was retiring and took over his job, and I was able to run that position. And he was my mentor for about 8 to 10 months and just truly, like, just really helping me. You know, after I came back from traveling across the country, I was actually driving for a very good family friend's limo service, and I picked up a guy while I was looking for work. I picked up a guy, and we had a great conversation, 45-minute drive, and he gave me his business card at the end, and it was like, tomorrow you call a guy's name on the back of this car. And he was a leader in a company in New Jersey, and he ran the help desk. And so I called him, and you know, gave me an interview, and I got the job, and then, you know, he helped me grow. Along the way, I've had, you know, good leaders in life that, you know, taught me certain things that, you know, brought me to where I am right now, and I'm thankful for all that. So, you know, when we hired people here, I know the struggles of what it takes to get to that next level, but I also know that we're in a different time period of lives of how we grow in business. And I know you have to work hard to get to where you should be and get what you want in life. And I work my ass off. And I tell everyone out there, you know, prove to me who you are, and you could have my seat. Like, I want you to have my seat. Mm-hmm. If you're not here wanting to have my job, then what are you doing? Right. And so I sit with them, mentor them. It's extremely important for me that someone, you know, if you want to stay in the help desk for your life, that's fine. If that's really what you want to do and that's what makes you happy, I'm cool with it. But most people don't want to stay on the help desk in their life. Right? And so we hire, you know, we hire in skill, but we do hire a lot of personality on our team. And because we feel we can train. Mm-hmm. And so I want all these guys and girls to just grow to be who they want to be and go after the right direction of IT that they want to be in. And we're going to help them get there, whatever it is. And so I'm out there all the time. Like, I'm running, you know, all the stuff here and I'm in my office, but I go out on the floor every morning. Good morning. I make sure to shake their hands, give them a pound, whatever, because it's important to me that they're enjoying being here and that if they need help, they tease me, they come in. I don't care. They can go to their managers also. It's not like, you know, and so like Ruben started here right out of school, 21 years old, you know, he's been here 9 years running our cyber side, you know, great person, built his passion up to like, you know, and he's learned a ton. And Matt, we need no IT, like I said, running field. Ron, who's our service manager, started with us 3 years ago on the help desk, and I just saw who he was as a person and knew he could get to this point and be a strong leader, right? And so it's just important to me that is as important to me as growing this business and making sure this business is successful for the rich and everybody and myself, is them to grow themselves and become leaders one day, and I'm hoping they all stay. Like, yep. It's awesome that they stay. They've all been invited to my house at barbecues. I take them to Yankee games. we go to the bars. Like, you know, they're friends and they're people. Like, they're all good people. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I wanted to pivot a little bit because somehow organically, and I don't want to say somehow, it's still pretty relevant in our lives. We always end up talking about COVID on this podcast. And, you know, when COVID hit our business and there's all these anecdotes that come up naturally, I figured I'd just go ahead and ask it to get there because I'm interested. We don't get to talk to many other IT leaders. So COVID hits 2020. This business going to be positioned a little bit differently because of its technology and probably going to be a little faster on its feet than some other businesses might be. What was that like for you and your team and kind of having to lead through that? Because I mean, that was
mayhem. It was
new to everybody. It was just crazy. And I'm always interested in the stories.
So complete mayhem the first couple weeks. You know, this area of the country, a lot different than other parts of the country.
Yeah.
I mean, when we talk shutdown, we talk shutdown. It was a ghost town. Every single one of our clients' offices closed. Every single one of them, we pre-set up with remote desktop, VPN, all that stuff, but none of them knew how to use it. And none of them either got new machines and set it up or whatever. So we went to hundreds of service calls a day.
Wow.
It was complete mayhem. The team took it on like champs. We got through that first two weeks was just like brutal, crazy. And then we're flying. I mean, I don't know. it was pretty because we're set up to work remotely anywhere. We're an IT company, right? It was just small transitions for us. Right?
Yeah.
It wasn't huge changes in regards to how we run.
On this side, we're but good. But
the client side was definitely different. But, you know, this area of the country is, we're very aggressive. We're very fast paced. It's a different beast. A different beast than, you know, than a lot of other areas, you know. But when things happen that affect many, this area comes together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, September 11th happens. You wouldn't find a kinder, nicer area in the country than here, and everybody helping each other. COVID happens, same type of situation. Everybody was understanding and helping, and we just, you know, so I think people got the understanding, like, we're doing our best, and I think everyone was very thankful, and I think the team, we all did an incredible job, and we definitely changed our practices a bit, you know. It's pretty nice flying up the highway, picking up laptops at the office. No one's here, and there's not a single car on the road.
Yeah.
And so, like, so when I had to pick up, like, 20, 30 laptops. I dropped off like 10, 15 at Matt's house. Me and Matt had a bunch of laptops at our house. So when employees needed new laptops, I'd have a tech jump on, it up, and Matt would set it up, and then we'd ship it out of our house. And none of the offices were open up here for a while. Yeah. So there were no on-sites, and which was pretty awesome because it started mentally changing people's mindset that, oh, you know what? They weren't lying. They could work remotely. They
can leverage technology to work wherever I need to.
And on the service side, we can actually really support remotely. We don't have to go on site to fix this.
Yeah.
So it definitely helped us with our client side of the business, as well as understanding, like, the support can be remote, right? And, you know, we actually grew tremendously through that time and the following, you know, next few years up to now. And also nationally. So we didn't, now we have clients, our two largest clients are in California. We have clients in North Carolina, Florida, Ohio, PA, it's not really that far, and Massachusetts. So we're, you know, that definitely helped broaden our horizons as well as a company of where we can support and do business. And, you know, we did full Office 365 email migrations fully remotely, 50 users, 60 users, you know, and things we've been saying for a long time that we could do, we didn't. So it helped us implement new processes and procedures and stuff like that. So we took advantage of a very, very tough, you know, time period in all of our lives, and you know,
yeah, forging a fire a little bit. Kind of threw you in and forced you to evolve a little bit. And hey, we've been talking about this for a while, and finally a circumstance comes along. And I think we face those more than we realize, obviously not COVID scale, but just smaller challenges or failures help shape us more than maybe sitting in a training. And while that's training's helpful, you learn better from your mistakes. So I think COVID was, you know, probably the ultimate trial and tribulation of our lives here. And it's like, it changed everything we do and the way we view the world. But again, like the great businesses and leaders, I feel like, you know, if given the proper circumstance, we're able to kind of rise from that and like evolve in certain ways. And I think IT was, you know, in a way almost blessed in that circumstance, because I mean, the technology's here. We can work here, we can work there. So I think I'm so interested to get your thoughts on that, just because, you know, we're not going to bring on our competitors, you know, full disclosure.
Yeah. I mean, it's helped, like I said, change the views of how we could support, but it also opened up different avenues of what we should be supporting. You know, the whole cybersecurity side of things then opened up even further. Yeah. You know, you're not just supporting firewalls or server at someone's office. Now you've got all these remote users. So now you got to figure out, you know, how you're protecting all these people who are working on their home wireless, and that you know it's not secure, right? So it really opened up for way more discussions on how we're supporting that and different packages and services that we need to offer. And so that's really helped, you know, every time you have a fall, you have to get up, right? And so like, you know, every time there's something in front of you, you've got to walk through, you've got to get around and figure out a way, you know, to build upon it. And so we used all those, and it happens all the time. I mean, not just a COVID situation, it's in technology.
Yeah.
Every single week we see it now.
You got to IDS it.
Ransomware, it is. So, you know, it's helped us build upon our packages and what we're offering our clients.
When things started to turn a corner and people started to come back into the office, how was that felt for this team specifically, and getting people back in? And I believe when I walked in, I heard, you know, people are here on Thursdays, like Thursday's the day in the office. How did that work transitioning? How was that message felt when it's like, hey, can we get back in the office a little bit?
Yeah, we were out of the office for a pretty long time, and I don't remember because time and me are not, not a thing. Like, I couldn't tell you what happened last week. So, but I can tell you that everybody was excited to go back to the office.
Nice.
And like I said, we've got this crew that likes working together. And, you know, we were doing like all companies, Zoom meetings and like happy hours and stuff like that. Super exciting and fun sitting by yourself drinking on a camera.
The first virtual happy hour was fun. Yeah, after that, it was
fun at first. We were just so cool. Craving human interaction. But after a time, it's like, can we be together?
Yeah, exactly. So when we reopened the office and stuff, it was great. I think it was great. We didn't have any complaints, mostly, and at least not from the IT side, of coming back into the office. And keep in mind, like, we had people working during COVID. You know, we were a copier division as well. So you can't fix a copier remotely. And there were people working and businesses running. So these techs did, you know, have to go out there and support. So, but back to the question, they enjoyed coming to the office. No problems. We do a hybrid schedule. We've been doing a hybrid schedule. You have to be here a certain amount of time and because of training and all that stuff. But we do... Everyone gets at least one day home a week after a certain period of time. And then no one's been complaining or nothing.
And that, nice. And that doesn't just happen overnight. You don't just go, oh, wow, everybody's happy to be here. That doesn't just, you don't luck into that, I don't think.
No, we got lucky. I don't know. I don't know why.
Well, I think it's just having, when you have the right people, when you have a pretty healthy culture, so there's going to be a lot less pushback. Because you know, it's like, would I prefer to work at home today? If you're given the option, like most people are going to say, yeah, but man, it's great to get in the office and see people and talk to people. Cause it's not, you know, love technology. I love Microsoft Teams. We put that out there, but man, when you get to sit down with real human people and interact, the conversation just has a completely different dynamic. It's the reason we didn't hop on a Zoom call or a Teams call with you today. We drove here all the way from Hagerstown because it's like this conversation would not have been nearly as good or fun or interactive if we were just looking at a screen. Like, sure, we can cover this subject matter and we can discuss whatever we want to and record it and it'll sound probably fine. But to be here in person and have this human interaction, get to see this office and understand, you bring up these culture conversations, we would have just taken your word for it on a call. Whereas today we got to come in and meet people. And that was really exciting for us. So
yeah, it's awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah. Plus just seeing another MSP operate and so many similarities, but also how are you doing this? And
there's a lot of, being in a peer group and being part of the channel and stuff and seeing how other MSPs operate, it's really interesting. We all have a lot of the same issues. Mm-hmm. we solve them differently.
Yep.
But it's great to work together and build the community because these issues can be, they're not competitors.
Yep.
You guys aren't competitors to us. And I also say it about the MSPs down the road. There's way more than enough businesses out there for all of us to gain and prosper. And it's about, creating unity and putting the proper support out there, the proper security packages, the proper service, and really growing our businesses together and not trying to undercut each other, because then it just hurts everybody. And it's
I responded to an RFP recently, and one of the questions that the IT leader asked in the RFP, and I thought it sent such a message to me that they were truly looking for the right kind of MSP partner, because they asked about, do we participate in peer groups? What type of training programs, what type of industry associations, how often are our leaders going to conferences? Mm-hmm. Like, they were truly looking for a partner that is learning from other best-in-class MSPs in the industry. And like, that just sent such a message to me. You can't do this on your own.
No,
because a lot of people wouldn't even know to ask those questions, right? I mean, you're probably like, whoa,
that's a great
point. But it's also exciting because you can answer yes to
that's a deal you want to try to close and get. Like, you're filling out an RFP like that, that's a customer that I would attack to try to become a partner because they understand the value of a partnership.
Yep.
And that is a true customer.
And I typically hate replying to RFPs, but when you see questions like that, they're looking for the right thing.
The peer groups are the most valuable thing we've ever done as a company. I'm so thankful for the peers in our peer group. I mean, the stuff that I've learned just in the last, we've been very heavily a part of a peer group for the last year and a little bit. And it's just awesome to work with fellow peers of yours and in the same industry, trying to grow, do business together. And you're building that culture internally in a peer group. And it's just amazing.
I like it too, because I'm in a peer group myself for other content managers, content specialists. And it's awesome to have a chunk of my day, because my job is so vastly different than everybody in this company. And it's nice to have an hour every now and then to go sit down and like talk about podcasting and interviewing. How do we do this on video? Like, how do we get people to open up here? And it's cool to sit there, and you get so many like fun ideas from people. Like, we tried this, and again, none of the, I'm not competing with any of them, maybe for clicks on Instagram videos, but they're not making content about technology like I am. And so we're all doing different things. We can all thrive off of those ideas. And it's just very cool to come together.
I mean, it's priceless.
Definitely. Definitely. And to bring people like you in. And I mean, the more leaders I talk to, I feel like the smarter I get, even though I'm not like running a business or anything. It's so cool to just get to talk to people in positions like yours and just learn about different experiences. And you put together pieces about people and the similarities and differences between them and kind of how they got to where they were. So thank you for all your knowledge and stories and expertise today. It's been awesome. So
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I love learning from others also. So it's truly important.
Yeah. And I think it's fun just to sit and talk, and the microphones and headphones are a little bit unnatural with the rest of it. Hey, I mean, we were sitting here for a half hour before just to hang out and talking.
Yeah.
You might as well turn the mics on and let it roll. But thank you for being the first stop on our little tour here. This is fun. This is the first time we've left not just our building, but our conference room. We never recorded outside of a single room This is the second room we've ever recorded.
That's why they're not videoing, because they don't want you to see what they look like outside of Hager stuff.
It's a mystery. But.
Well, it's funny. We've talked about doing video with our podcast, but so many guests ask if it's video, and they don't want to do it if it's on video.
Really?
So we're like, all right, well, we'll ease into it. We'll do audio only for a while and then see if people get more comfortable with it.
We'll see, but
it's perfect. Well, either way is perfect. It's getting your message out there. It's informative. It's helping others. Mm-hmm. It's the perfect thing to do. It's educational. It's good conversation. So I love what you guys are doing. I've been listening and, so I think it's great. And taking out the road is definitely a fun opportunity for you guys. And,
very cool.
Get to see other regions and hear stories from other areas, because, like everybody, like you said, leaders are leaders, but different areas have different roadblocks in front of them that they have to get over. And,
every region's different. They deal with different, it could just be like a different economic struggle in a different region. Simple as that. But I mean, people are different it's very cool. So this has been,
luckily you guys didn't get run off the road in Jersey.
Luckily, very nice drive in. So knock on wood, it's been travel's been good so far. So hopefully that continues.
Yeah, we planned plenty of time. Knock on wood, no traffic.
Yeah. Just wait, going into New York City next.
Yeah.
This might be an interesting hour or two here coming up, but this has been good. Ori Siegel, thank you. I'm sorry for butchering your name at the front end. I actually started our last show talking about how someone butchered the name of our guest. And I was like, that's your name, right? I wanted to get it right. And of course, I start this one.
It's usually the first name people butcher. So you're right.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
Huh. The more you know. I got Whippany right.
You did. No one gets that one.
Yeah. What is? I don't know. Weird.
But everyone gets a lot of people get the last name wrong because Steven Seagal.
That might have been what it was. Yeah. The inspiration. Yeah. I read it. I was like, where have I seen this? That's it. Some combination of letters similar to this. But thank you for coming on. Yeah,
thank you so much.
Once again, Ori is the Chief Technology Officer here at Preferred Business Systems. Ori, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Steph. And Steph drove us here today, so I have to shout her out for driving us three and a half, almost 4 hours up here. She's the best, so credit to her. She gets the executive producer today. I give her the credit here. So
the official podcast driver.
Yes. So we're gonna record tomorrow, but you guys will hear it in a couple more weeks from now in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And we will
spoiler or a teaser.
I guess a teaser. If you don't hear that one, then something's gone horribly wrong. But you and all likely. Again, we've knocked on wood a lot. I think we're in good shape. But thank you all for listening, and we'll hear from you, or you'll hear from us actually in a couple weeks. But if you want to send some reviews in, I'll take that as well. Thanks for listening.